The Amazing Pulp Adventure, starring Mr. Adventure. The clock says it's time for adventure, so sit a little closer to the radio so you don't miss a thing. Stay vigilant, stay adventurous!
Going back and forth to library, university, visiting men in bars and possibly being followed, rooms getting ransacked, discovered, and failures, I head out to the ruins of Zopsha. My camp has been destroyed. It has come to my attention that a particular stone relief has finally been discovered. I have to admit that its discovery came at quite a price. Nearly half the original team has disappeared, and the others are quite tight-lipped. Any questions are blown off, calls from the media are ignored. Even my great friend Bernard, a man, went to school and has shut up, as if preparing for a storm. Surely it can be some wonderful children's book curse that they fear. As they are all rational men and women of science, I didn't think any of them would even go to church. So they have little faith in the things yet unseen. I will approach the subject again with Bernard at lunch on Tuesday. Tape from Wednesday. Well, Bernard has finally opened up a little as per his little adventure in South America. He admitted that he is spooked by the slightest little thing. It would seem that the natives, as one would expect, hail the ruins as a mystical place. And of course no foreigners should set foot upon a single stone lest they anger the gods. But Bernard said that it wasn't fear of retribution of the tribesmen that crushed the expedition, but rather the monks that guarded the temple within the ruins. When he said monks, I admit I was taken aback. Most tribes had a single religious leader, and they were never referred to as monks, but it would seem as if these fellows had joined together and were even practicing a different religion than the natives. They weren't so much worried about many gods, just two. Two twin gods that would fight, and the power and the energy from the fight would bring about Armageddon. I had to ask Bernard if he had been spending too much time in churches of late, but the look in his eyes struck a chord in my own heart. It would seem that our favorite game of Mock the Ignorant would no longer be played. He intimately believed in gods that are weary of good or bad. He also said something that played on my own fears. What was it? One god stands for absolute good, and one stands for absolute evil. One will win. It is time to choose sides. The look in his eyes made me sit back and question my own faiths. He left without another word as I pondered what he had meant. Part of me was worried that he was as serious as he seemed. Then another part of me hoped that the Ponce was tricking me into paying for his tab, which I had just noticed he'd left without his paying. I think I'll travel to where he had been to find out what was going on.
Welcome once again to the Amazing Pulp Adventures radio show tour. We start this year's tour in High Point, North Carolina at Stellicon 32, which is also playing host to Deep South Con 46. Because of this, we have many special guests and surprises in store for you this tour. To start off this Mask of Darkness tour the right way, we begin with the spectacular team-up of Solomon Stone, Archaeologist of the Unknown, and Mr. Adventure, Hero of Tomorrow Today. This story takes place shortly after Mr. Adventure's first confrontation with Der Schwarzgeist. It begins with a simple message sent thousands of miles via telegraph from Solomon Stone to Mr. Adventure.
Mr. Adventure, stop. I require your presence here in South America. Stop. I have discovered something that requires your immediate attention. Stop. Please, come at your earliest convenience. Stop.
Without hesitation, Mr. Adventure heads to South America, the location of Solomon's latest dig, and to a great surprise, Mr. Adventure discovered the excavation site in utter ruins with no sign of his friend, Solomon.
This doesn't look good at all.
Stone!
There is no response to Mr. Adventure's call. After taking some time to scout out the area, he discovers the ruins of an ancient Aztec pyramid, partially covered with jungle vegetation. It appears to be the only place one could hide. This being his only option, Mr. Adventure chooses this place to begin his search for his missing comrade.
Stone's camp must be destroyed. But still, the supplies I need are still here. I have no idea what awaits me inside. The last time I followed Stone into such a place was Egypt. I don't even want to think about that. And I'm not going in there with at least a rope, a torch, and a monkey.
Once inside, Mr. Adventure could tell the areas in which Solomon Stone had ventured during his exploration of this ancient temple. The paths Stone had taken were now clear of spiderwebs and other debris that had once accumulated in these passages from centuries of neglect.
I wonder what Stone wanted to show me in this place. I suppose he'll have to tell me when I find him. We've saved each other enough times, and I think it's my turn. Though, is it too much to ask for some sort of clue?
As he continues to traverse the twisted and broken paths of the temple's ruins, Mr. Adventure discovers what Solomon Stone wanted to show him, and he couldn't believe his eyes. He had just come face to face with himself. Yet this graven imposter was carved in stone in an ancient giant relief.
It can't be. It's me. Albeit a handsome depiction, it is terribly unnerving. And then, over there, it looks as though I'm fighting myself. What is going on here? What can it all mean? As if my life isn't complex enough. Now I have this to deal with. I have to find... pesky bug. Give me Zhao, or the masked Gunfighter any day. Oh, my head.
What kind of superbug would make Mr. Adventure fall into unconsciousness from a simple bite? Perhaps there is something more sinister here at work. We are going to have to wait to find out what has transpired as we take a break to hear a word from one of our sponsors, Action Pop Cola, the soda of tomorrow today.
What is America's favorite soda pop? What soda pop promotes healthy bone growth and shiny white teeth? What is the only soda pop to sponsor episodes of the Amazing Pulp Adventures radio show starring everyone's action hero of Sapphire City, Mr. Adventure? Action Pop Cola. Not only is Action Pop Cola the soda of tomorrow today, it's filled with all sorts of healthy goodness. Action Pop Cola is also the smoother, more refreshing cola. So remember, kids, when your parents take you to the grocery store or soda fountain, ask for Action Pop Cola. It's action-tastic.
We return to the jungles of South America and Mr. Adventure's unconscious body. How could something as simple as an insect take out the champion of Sapphire City when the likes of Dr. Zhao and Shadow X couldn't accomplish such a feat? Is something more sinister at work here? Mr. Adventure finds himself awakened with the blurred image of a man standing over him. But who could it be? Friend? Foe? Or something worse?
It is about time you woke up. I was worried I'd have to play Prince Charming and give you a little peck.
What? Where am I? What is going on?
Rest easy. The effects of the drug will wear off shortly.
Drugs? So it wasn't a monkey. Is that you, Solomon?
Yes, old friend, it is me. It is good to see you, though I wish it was under better circumstances.
When was the last time we met under good circumstances?
You have a point there.
So, how are we doing?
Same as always.
That bad, huh?
Mr. Adventure awoke to find his missing friend, Solomon Stone. The two have been imprisoned in a makeshift cage somewhere deep within the pyramid.
Let me see what I can do about getting us out of here. These bars should give me no problem. I can't believe it.
I couldn't get the bars to bend either.
Thanks for trying, but with my enhanced strength, these bars should be easily taken care of.
What do you mean?
Oh, that's right. You wouldn't have known about the changes I've gone through as of late. But I bet I can punch through the stone floor.
No!
Why?
You can't go around destroying 2,000-year-old temples just so we can escape. Once they're gone, that's it. There is no replacing these testaments to human achievement.
Ah, that is what I love about you archaeologist types. Believing everything should be placed in a museum, or not to be touched for fear of destroying an irreplaceable antiquity. You've always searched for fact, whereas I have found truth. You are so predictable, my old friend.
Who are you?
Well, Francis, would you tell him, or shall I?
Francis?
I will tell you later. Michael, it's been a long time.
Not long enough for me, Francis Stone.
So how's the hand?
How dare you speak to my lord in such a manner?
It is quite all right, Jezebel. I will answer his question. At first, I was furious about what you had done to me, but now I know it is a gift, since I was able to attach the hand of the dark warrior Lu Bu. Now I control a power far beyond anything we could have possibly dreamed.
Great, another power-hungry madman. How many of you stopped this year alone?
10. No, wait. I'll make that 11 once I get finished kicking Mr. Fancy Hand's butt over here.
Quiet your tongues. Please, my lord, let me finish these insolent fools now.
No, my dear. I have waited long for this moment. I feel no need to rush. If they were foolish enough to try and stop me here, then they would have to destroy Stone's precious temple. And he wouldn't dare do that. Stone wouldn't let the hero desecrate such an important historical find. Especially when it involves you personally, Mr. Adventure. Do you not yearn to discover what your destiny has to do with this far-removed people? Does your heart burn to know the secrets the gods have kept from you?
If it wasn't for my respect for Solomon, you would already know my swift sense of justice.
I look forward to continuing our verbal engagement when you return to Sapphire City. You will either be in a comfortable seat with a stewardess to feed you, or in the cargo hold with maggots feasting upon you.
Michael Aztec and his lady friend leave our two heroes behind without any visible means of escape. It seems as if the only way to exit is for Solomon to allow Mr. Adventure to destroy a part of the temple to free themselves from the cage Michael Aztec has placed them in. Since that is against the oath Solomon swore to himself, his university, and his students, they will have to discover another means of escape. If they do not hurry, there will be little chance of them finding and apprehending Michael Aztec back in Sapphire City. Could this be the end of our heroes? Has villainy finally triumphed over good? We must turn away from the diabolical trap of death and destruction for a special report on tonight's hockey match between the Sapphire City Champions and Opal City Stars. Let's turn it over to our special sports correspondent, Vic Nile.
Hey, Vic Nile here. It appears that John Hawk has led the Sapphire City Champions to yet another victory, this time against the Opal City Stars. This win now puts the Champions one step closer to claiming the Stanley Cup. John Hawk will lead the Champions against the Greenberg Chargers next weekend with the odds weighing high in Hawk's favor.
Thanks for the hockey update, Vic, but we need to get back to Mr. Adventure and Solomon Stone as they are trapped by Michael Aztec. We return to find Mr. Adventure pacing laps around his slumbering friend.
Ah, that was refreshing. You could sleep through a Bedlam Bombardier's barrage. I'm glad one of us could get some rest at a time like this. Is there anything you can think of that doesn't involve me tearing through the floor? We don't even have any tools. If only we had that damn monkey from our time in Egypt. At ease, my friend. Don't think I haven't already thought this and planned it out already.
Stone stood up and walked over to the bars of the cage and whistled. Footsteps? Who could this be? What sort of plan did Solomon Stone orchestrate? Out of the shadows emerges none other than the Crimson Moth.
I guess you guys could use a hand.
Moth, what are you doing here?
Solomon is one sharp guy. He sent a telegraph to me just in case you guys ran into any trouble that required a woman's touch.
And I see that my intuition was right as usual. Now, if you would be a dear and hit that lever there, we could be on our way back to the city and dealing with my old nemesis, Michael Aztec.
Crimson Moth quickly frees our trapped heroes.
Now that we are free, I believe our presence in Sapphire City is of the utmost importance.
I think I might have that covered. I just happen to have Dr. Richard's gyrocopter parked outside. Though, after that explosion I heard, I'm guessing we're going to need your help in getting out of here.
I guess this might be where Mr. Adventure's newfound strength should come in handy. I dare say you are going to need to tell me all about these new powers on our way back to Sapphire City.
I think that can be arranged. Now how about showing us the exit?
Follow me. I know the way.
Didn't he get lost in his own museum once?
I think that was a rumor started by a student that he failed. At least, I hope it is.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Sorry, Solomon. After you, sir, lady.
Thank you.
Our three heroes quickly made their way out of the temple and through the jungle to find that the awaiting gyrocopter was nothing more than a pile of smoldering wreckage. They deduced that the explosion they heard earlier was Michael Aztec's explosive handiwork. They would have to find another way back to Sapphire City.
At least it isn't all bad. We are only a couple of hours' walk to a nearby village where we can negotiate transportation.
Lead the way.
So, Solomon, what can you tell us about this Michael Aztec? I've never read about him in the files that the League of Adventurous Heroes has on all known villains.
I never thought he needed to be there. He was a rival only in my archaeological career, never in my personal life or the safety of our citizens. I guess that has all changed now. To answer your question, he was an old colleague of mine. Damn fine archaeologist, one of the best. Only, until one night, he decided to start selling artifacts to the highest bidder instead of preserving them in a museum. About that same time, he began claiming he was the reincarnation of an ancient Aztec priest. Late-night rants on how he was going to rebuild the great empire that was no more had kept me up many evenings. I had nearly missed my interview to get into the Sapphire City Museum of the Unknown, thanks to one of his long-winded ravings.
What about the hand of his? The hand of the Dark Lord Bobo?
It's Lubu. I wouldn't call him a dark warrior. He was so much more than that. He was a general and warlord to be reckoned with during the time of the Three Kingdoms. Lubu was a master in horseback riding, archery, and armed combat. If there was a way to inflict destruction on his enemies, he excelled at it. There were few who came close to be considered his equal, and his chi, or the Heaven Scorcher, laid waste to all those who opposed him.
Mr. Adventure and Stone were quite shocked at the knowledge Crimson Moth possessed.
I never knew you had such a passion for Chinese history.
Well, just the Three Kingdoms. But I have to say I'm not sure why Aztec said he had Lubu's hand. I could see him saying he had the Heaven Scorcher, but his hand? His actual hand? I'm curious to see what he has acquired.
As our perplexed adventurers make their way back to the village to secure passage back to Sapphire City, let's take a moment to hear from yet another sponsor of the Amazing Pulp Adventures radio show tour.
In 2005, Hurricane Katrina devastated the Gulf Coast. 3 years later, that region is still trying to recover from this disaster. A group of incredible authors came together for Writers for Relief to help benefit the survivors. Now, a second volume is on its way to continue to help through the Bay Area Food Bank, who is still helping feed those in need. Volume 2 of Writers for Relief will be coming out later this year from Dragon Moon Press, featuring such authors as Todd McCaffrey, David Drake, Yuji Foster, and many others, including the creator of Mr. Adventure, Davey Beauchamp. So please pick up your copy to help continue helping the survivors of Katrina.
Thank you for that information, but let us return not to our heroes, but the villainous Michael Aztec, who has managed to make his way to Sapphire City.
Ah, my dear Jezebel, all is now as it should be. We have a few days to prepare for the arrival of the city's champion.
Yes, my lord, they do not understand the forces they face. They think you a mere madman with delusions of godhood. But what they don't understand
is that they will face our god. But first, I will deal with those who would seek to take my city for their own glory.
Dr. Zhao?
Yes, my dear. I already have my minions seeking him out. It is only a matter of time before I find and crush him.
So he is to die by your hand?
No, no. He is too valuable to me alive. He is a living, breathing genius. I plan to break his spirit, along with the city's champion. But if they will not bow down before me, their bodies will lie broken at my feet. But I wish for them to serve me as I take this world as my own.
Master, your loyal servants have brought you a present.
I can't believe my eyes. I have seen many things in my time, but this astounds even me. Bound in chains and led by a leash like an animal was Mr. Adventure's longtime nemesis, Dr. Zhao.
See, my dear Jezebel, see how the so-called mighty have fallen by my hand? This is a man who cares for nothing but himself and the destruction of Mr. Adventure. Think how easy bringing Adventure to his knees will be.
So you think you will have the ability to defeat Mr. Adventure? Then you know nothing of the man you face.
How dare you speak to my lord like that? You who have tried to defeat Mr. Adventure time and time again and have failed, you are nothing to my lord. He is greater than Mr. Adventure. My lord has succeeded where Adventure has failed time and time again. He has captured you.
Oh, Adventure may not have captured me, but he cornered me many times. He is craftier than you will ever be.
Why does he not bend to your greatness?
Forgive my overly aggressive pet, Dr. Zhao, but she is like Adam in the garden. And you are like Eve.
Excuse me? I don't follow.
You see, my good doctor, when Satan attacked humanity the first time, he did not approach Adam. Adam had seen what God could do. He saw him create life from dirt in a small patch in the garden. Eve had not. This is why she fell. She did not know the greatness of their creator. That is if you will believe in the greatness of the Hebrew interpretation of how my past life brought about existence. I obviously don't, but I feel the analogy stands. My Jezebel has seen the power I wield. She knows of what destruction or life I can create. You do not. You have nothing to say? Fine, take him away. To rot for now. Soon he will be joined by Adventure.
Why does he not bend?
I do not care. He is a foolish and yet still dangerous man. In time we will break him, and he will serve me. But until then, we must keep a watchful eye on him.
We leave the villains to their scheming and return to Mr. Adventure, Solomon Stone, and the Crimson Moth, who have found passage back to Sapphire City. It has been several days since the jungle. They flew high above the city of tomorrow today, Sapphire City. However, they were not greeted by the familiar skyline they loved.
This can't be good. What power does he possess to transform the city like this?
Maybe he was lying about the hand, or maybe he doesn't know its true origins. Lubu didn't have power like this. Ability to shift the balance of power in a battle, sure, but not to reform the landscape.
It looks as though Michael has transformed City Hall into an ancient Aztec step pyramid, but something about it makes me very uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable? Like having to walk up a 250-foot-high staircase in what could be impending doom? Or like finding out that you're giving a speech in front of all your professors with no pants and no underwear? Because a monkey stole them.
I don't know. Something about it just unsettles me.
Solomon Stone's eyes grew wide with shock.
What's up, Solomon?
I thought I recognized those ornaments on the rooftop. They are the guardians to the path of Michelin.
Michelin?
Sorry, it is a path to the dark underworld. That temple is used for human sacrifices.
If he has harmed anyone.
I know, my friend.
So let's get down there before he can.
Solomon, can you handle this bird by yourself?
You should have seen me in the skies over the Empire during the war.
So much for it being the war to end all wars.
Good. Just take us a little lower. Moth, would you care to join me?
Mr. Adventure, I thought you would never ask.
Here we go.
The door on the plane opens, and out comes Mr. Adventure without a parachute, followed closely by the Crimson Moth. She lives up to her name by spreading her wings and catching air currents to aid her flight. But what about Mr. Adventure? We all know he has gone through some changes as of late, but leaping from an airplane? This can't be good.
Look, up in the sky!
Is it a Nazi bomb being dropped from that aircraft?
Is it a damaged plane coming in for a landing?
No, it's Mr. Adventure.
By some miracle in acrobatics, Mr. Adventure has survived his death-defying leap from the airplane. Though one could not say the same for the pavement, the sidewalk now carries a permanent dent from where Mr. Adventure landed. As he straightened, Mr. Adventure turned to face the former symbol of everything he believed in. The frightening temple carried no resemblance to the familiar face of justice that City Hall once proudly embodied.
Man, that was a doozy of a first step. I wonder where Moth is.
About time you got here.
How about next time you carry me down?
Sure, I'll just let you hang from my legs.
Are you ready?
Let's see here. We're about to walk into a mysterious temple to face a man who thinks himself to be a reincarnated god, wielding the magical hand of an ancient Chinese warlord. We don't have any backup, no supplies, and no plan. I'd feel a hell of a lot better if we at least had a monkey. But since there is nary a simian in sight, sure, why not?
Good, because this Michael Aztec must possess some incredible power. It took the Sapphire City Department of Transportation 3 weeks to fix the pothole outside my house, but this place went up in mere days.
I know. I've been racking my brain over all the Chinese history and folklore I know to figure out what could do this. He did mention Lu Bu, but I'm at a loss.
Well, there is only one way to find out. Let's start climbing. Here's what gets me. I don't believe even Dr. Zhao could accomplish a feat of this magnitude so quickly.
Don't you think it's odd that the Sapphire City Police Department aren't here to keep things under control? And where's the chaos? I'm sensing a distinct lack of chaos. Why are people taking this all so calmly?
You're right. This feels like a giant trap.
When do things not? Well, let's not disappoint.
I like the way you think, Moth.
Mr. Adventure and Crimson Moth race up the stairs that bisect the face of the pyramid and reach the top in a few minutes. Once inside the pyramid, they are reminded of where they were just days ago. It was like they were no longer in Sapphire City. It didn't even sound or smell like the city they knew.
This place is incredible.
I know, but doesn't it seem a little empty? What happened to all the people that work here?
The mayor and the people had better be okay, or Aztec is going to get a 1-2 combination he'll never forget.
A strange sound emanates from deep within the stone corridors. A heroes follow the chanting to its source, and they are astonished by what they find. They keep their presence hidden for the time being.
What has he done to them?
I don't know. I just don't know.
Mr. Adventure and the Crimson Moth can't believe their eyes. Both the mayor and the commissioner of police are dressed as ancient Aztecs worshipping at the steps of an altar alongside many other hardworking members of the city. From police to firefighters to civil engineers, they had all fallen under the spell of Michael Aztec.
We will need to be careful when we make our move. We can't hurt them or allow any of them to be hurt fighting us.
You're right. This isn't going to be easy.
Just promise me if things go south on us, you will flee, find Solomon, and call on the reserves. Let's hope they haven't all fallen under Aztec's spell.
You got it.
The crowd grows quiet as Michael Aztec makes his appearance. No longer does he look like the man Mr. Adventure saw in South America as he had traded his businessman suit for that of a full-blown Aztec high priest, complete with the ceremonial garb and headdress.
Thank you, my faithful followers. I have to thank you for the impressive temple. Your belief in me feeds my power.
This can't be good. With his power, there is no telling who would be willing to align themselves with this madman.
We need to put an end to this now.
Our heroes prepare themselves to strike and put an end to this insanity just as Michael Aztec steps away from the altar, pulling back a beaded curtain with tiny skulls to reveal his ally in the scheme to take over Sapphire City. Do my eyes deceive me? It can't be. But it is. Michael Aztec's ally is...
We're sorry to interrupt this episode of the Amazing Pulp Adventures radio show tour, but there appears to be a bank robbery in progress at the 2nd Street Bank. At this time, there is an unknown amount of assailants holding an unknown number of hostages within. The Sapphire City police are already on the scene. What makes this heist so unusual is that these, from what we understand, are just normal bank robbers, with no affiliation to any number of the villains that make their home here in Sapphire City. These are just men with guns. From what we are now being told, gunfire has been heard coming from within the bank. We're not sure if anyone at this time has been injured. What we do know is that the police have not yet called in Mr. Adventure or the League of Adventurous Heroes due to the lack of costumed villainy. We will update you as soon as we know more. We now return you to the Amazing Pulp Radio Show Tour at StellarCon 32.
Just as Michael Aztec's ally is about to be revealed, and it is a person you couldn't possibly predict, we must say goodbye to StellarCon and Deep South Con as our time has come to an end. But fear not, for the identity of Michael Aztec's ally will be revealed at RavenCon 3 in Richmond, Virginia. And don't forget about the stone relief found in the temple in South America, because we are far from through with that. Until then, we would like to thank StellarCon and Deep South Con for letting us kick off the tour of darkness in the furniture capital of the world, High Point, North Carolina. We would like to thank all of our actors and actresses for lending their voices and talents to the Amazing Pulp Adventures radio show starring Mr. Adventure. For more thrilling tales, visit pulpadventures.net. And remember, stay vigilant, stay adventurous! The Amazing Pulp Adventures starring Mr. Adventure live at StellarCon 2008 was written by Davey Beauchamp and adapted for audio by podcasting Rich Siegfried. It starred James Maxey as Citizen Number 2 and our sponsors, Tammy Stollard as Jezebel and Citizen Number 3, John the Vicar Stollard as news announcer Vic Nile and Dr. Zhao, Sherilyn Lambeth as Crimson Moth and Citizen Number 1, podcasting's Rich Siegfried as the narrator, Mr. Adventure, Solomon Stone, Minion, and Citizen Number 4, and presenting Michael A. Stackpole as Michael Aztec. For more exciting and thrilling tales, visit pulpadventures.net. And remember, stay vigilant, stay adventurous!